Do not scratch your eyes.
This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus.
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores. It's 3-0 United States.
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And we have plenty to get into this week. We are not long away from the start of the Premier League season, so we will start to dip our toe. In fact, you sound so thrilled.
I'm pumped. Super pumped.
About seeing your team playing. They're in action Manchester United.
It signifies the beginning of the end for all of us. I enjoy summer. I like summertime. Dude. I can watch shows. I can watch movies. I can spend time elsewhere.
Hey, you can do that during... For those of you who don't know, working at a sports station, when football season comes around, there is this overarching fear. Fear is not the right word.
There's a
responsibility that you know you have to watch tons of college football, plus the Ohio State Buckeyes, tons of NFL football, plus Bengals, Browns, and your favorite team. In your case, that's the Bears.
That's a third team.
Mine is the Browns, so I just have to watch them and the Bengals mostly. And then the other big NFL games. And then there's Monday Night Football. There's Thursday Night Football. Now there's going to be Friday Night Lights in college. So the point is, there's a lot of... And football games, by the way, not short. They're all like three and a half, four hours long.
Yeah.
So if you want to watch two of them, there's an eight-hour day.
Yeah.
If you just want to watch two of them in a row, like the 1 o'clock and the 4 o'clock on Sunday, you've taken up your whole Sunday.
It's the best thing about soccer is 10 o'clock match start. It's over by noon.
Yeah.
You're in, you're out. It's done. All in the meantime, I'm having like a fear because William has been signed up for daycare. Mm. He's not in the daycare yet. Mary goes back to work this Friday. So it's like now we have football season on the horizon. Premier League is getting started back up. That's great. I'm excited about it. Then it's like Mayor's going back to work. I'm in charge of raising a child.
Uh-huh.
Like that. Yeah. There's a lot going on in my mind.
I get it. So when soccer season starts up, so does school, so does football. I get it. It means there's a season of change about to happen.
Yeah.
And by the way, we love football. You love football.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot of watching. And at least with soccer for us, we watch that as an enjoyment.
Yeah.
It's not a... Even though we do this podcast, you can probably tell, we don't watch every single Premier League game. We're not watching every single, Champions League game. We try our best to keep up with it, but it's more of a thing where we get to it when we can, we enjoy it.
Yeah.
As opposed to football, it's like, you walk in here on a Monday and you don't have like 18 thoughts on, well, what are the Bears doing with, how's their new quarterback? How's, Caleb Williams, is he good? Is he bad? Should we take him out and just throw him in the river, or should we like let him be the president of the United States? But like, it's just no in between with anything. We can't just be like, this guy's a rookie and he's going to make some mistakes.
Okay.
No, we have to have hot takes about how like he needs to be flung to Mars or given the keys of human civilization.
Yeah.
There's no in between. Anyway, what a tough job we have.
It's
basically
brutal.
Like working in a mine. You know, it really
covered in all of that soot afterwards.
What a stupid complaint.
Yeah.
I know. We have these complaints, but
how was the game at the Shoe?
It was fun. Went to the Manchester City Chelsea game and my oldest two daughters got to be ball kids. So they got to go there. It was funny, which number one, tremendous opportunity. Thank you so much to the people who put this game on, organizers of the tournament, what do they call it, FC series or whatever, the thing where they bring all these teams over.
Yeah.
It was really nice of them to offer this, the people over at Ohio Stadium, and the kids got taken care of great. They had a great time. They have chaperones to take them out there to make sure they're like not just alone by themselves. They had people that kind of kept an eye on them, but they were happened to be on the end where we were sitting, so
nice.
We got to see them for all the game. I could kind of keep an eye on them. It was kind of cool to watch. I literally saw my two kids standing feet away from Erling Haaland as he scores a penalty kick. Not once, but twice, because he scored it once.
I mean, was that weird for you? Cool. Like,
no, it was incredible. Yeah. I mean, it's
We talk about this guy so much, and we have for years. Now it's like, he's there. Your kids are right there.
Yeah, it's that bizarre thing of if you see, like, Robert Downey Jr. sitting in a restaurant, you're like, I'm sorry, this is Iron Man? And he's in a... Applebee's? He would never.
$10 margarita buckets are back. You go to Applebee's with $19, you walk out a king
or queen.
Right.
That's right. I'm just saying, you see someone from your TV in your real life places that you're familiar with. Ohio State to me is just like a giant Applebee's. I've been there so many times. I know I like the back of my hand.
Yeah.
And now you see Erling Haaland running around on the field and seeing your own kid on the field.
You're not a normal here. You're
yeah,
not
it's
a regular.
Just, it was a weird, surreal thing.
But seeing grass like there is another weird thing.
I tell you, that grass looked good. I'm going to say, bring it back. Grass is back, baby. Been kind of a theme this week in the state of Ohio, if you haven't been paying attention. Grass is back, baby, in more ways than one. But
how long are the lines over there?
For the Manchester City game?
No, at the dispensaries.
I didn't go. I don't know. I'm happy for those who are. I don't partake. I'll let you live. No, but what I do know is that was a fun time out there. We had a great, great time. The kids immediately got in and became spoiled brats. So they get in and we were like, hey, you know, let us know, because they have phones. We're like, let us know how it's going in there. How they'll, you know, if you got a shirt or anything. Because we said, if you don't get a commemorative, we didn't know what they're going to put them in for the ball kids. If it's going to have the date on it or the game. We said, we'll get you a shirt if you don't. So you have something to remember this by. So they text us, they're like, they just gave us like bright orange plain shirts. And it's like, oh, poor baby.
How
so
dare,
sorry.
They how dare they?
They didn't give you like a custom jersey with your name on it. Well, then the mascots came in, which are the little kids. Yeah. They get to walk out with the players, and they get full kit. They're all kitted up. They're mm-hmm. good. So then the kids were like, they get a jersey with a name on it, a number. And I'm like, well, that's fine. You're not a six-year-old. They picked the six-year-olds for this. You've
aged out.
Yeah, you're too old for that. Be happy you're on the field. This is great. So then the game starts, and they're just, you can tell, overwhelmed. But they both have a soccer ball. They're standing there holding it. So I'm like texting them at halftime because they had their phones in the locker room. Like, get a picture of the ball. Get a picture, you know, when you go back in the locker room, or if they let them bring their phones in the second half. And so I saw them taking pictures, you know, before it started. Then during the game, I see my oldest pull the phone out. And she's just like taking video. And I'm like, and I'm texting her, like, put the phone down.
Pay attention to the game.
Pay attention to the game now, please.
Jurgen Klopp would be very disappointed in you.
Yeah.
Knowing that the ball kids aren't doing their jobs.
Yeah, it was quite the thing to see, but what a spectacle. 75,000 people,
nice.
I think, were there for that, and we avoided most of the weather, so that was good. We were inside when it hit, so that was, you know, nice. But, yeah, obviously, it was pretty loud. I would say it was about 50-50 with
good.
The Chelsea and City support. You would have been just in heaven seeing all the Manchester City love. I know it's your favorite thing. But it was, I'll tell you this, Viv, before the game, because we're kind of walking, we're getting ready for this a couple days ahead of time, and I'm saying, who do you like either of these teams? Do you have any of these teams you're gonna root for? And she said, I've always thought that Chelsea is a team that I would root for because
nice.
I like their name.
Yep.
I like the color of blue that they are, and I know they're good, but they're not like always winning everything. And
that's
I said,
correct.
All right.
It's a great point.
So far we're 3 for 3 on the accuracy on
yeah.
that. So then she goes to this game and she gets to watch I forget who scored, because this is a bad thing. I was watching so much of them, I saw Erling score. Erling scored a hat trick, and I'm like, good for him. I wanted to see that. That's great. I know you hate him.
I don't hate him. I revere him. He's incredible.
No,
he's incredible.
I know. But so I'm like, that's what I want to see, right?
Yeah.
You know, this is the best player on the field. You want to see that. Got to see.
Awesome
it.
How he played. Like, he played too. Like,
yeah.
That's tremendous.
Oh, no. He played, yes. And he
well,
played
he didn't,
hard.
He didn't play in a Euros or
no.
anything this summer.
He had nothing
so he's
else
gotta
to
get
do.
Some minutes in.
Well, and he had a knock in the like midweek game on Wednesday last week. He came out early and they thought, uh oh, is he going to play at all on
yeah.
Saturday? Well, he played like 80 minutes.
Nice.
Got subbed out. But, you know, he put in the work, was fighting hard. It looked like he was really going for it. But, I forget who it was for Chelsea that scored one of the goals, but it was right in front of where Viv was in the second half, and she's now a Miss Little Chelsea fan, and she starts jumping up and down. And I'm like, and it's actually, if you're watching on ESPN, we went back and looked, you can see her little orange shirt
oh, really?
Jumping up and down
that's
behind
great.
The goal. And I was like, that's kind of cool that she was. So hopefully core memories were made for the kids, and hopefully now that means.
Madueke and Raheem Sterling.
I think it was Sterling's goal. That's who it
okay.
was. Yes, Raheem Sterling did score, because I remember seeing that and going, oh, that's cool. She got to see Raheem Sterling. That's right. Now that you say that, I memory hold that. Forgot all about it. Now we're back.
now
but
we're
yeah,
alive.
Yeah. The only real difficulty was the four-year-old was not a part of any of that. She was just sitting with us
yeah.
and being a complete menace. But, you know, what can you do?
I feel like now, too, with Willie Boy, Like he has entered, I think maybe we talked about this like a little bit, like people talk about terrible twos and you know what that is. I feel like, and we definitely talked about this last week, but we even, so I got back from the fishing trip on Sunday. We went over to Crooked Can in Hilliard and did like the little splash park.
Great spot.
A little bit later on. And then we went out to dinner afterwards. After that, went over to JT's Pizza on 161, yep, which if you've never been there before,
one of the best places in town.
It's incredible. Like they are awesome. And just the amount of entertainment that we used to have like in the diaper bag for them was enough to suffice. Now nothing is enough. Like,
nope, nope.
I was for entertainment and trying to kill time before our dinner got there. I was literally taking the shaker of Parmesan cheese on the table and just like giving it to him in his hand. And he was straight eating it. And then he's like, more, more.
Yeah.
And so I'm like doing that for like 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I'm looking at Mayor. I'm like, we usually go out places and we get to hang out and he's cool. Cause he's running around. Like we go out to like fancy dinners with him, but places where he's able to like run around. We normally like to go. And now I'm just like, I don't know what to do with you. Like I have no clue how to kill off time here.
No,
with you.
It's we had that with Abby showed us the thing. She was getting fussy one day and I was just at the house and it's like, we'd done everything. I was trying to give her something else to do. So I'm like, let's read a book. And I'm starting to read the book. And then she says, Daddy, I want to count. And I said, okay. So she goes 1, 2. And then she looks at me and smiles. She goes 20 like that. And I was like, that's not right. And then I just instinctively was like, and I like smacked myself in the head with the book and I'm just like flopping around like, oh my gosh, you threw me off. I'm so crazy. And she giggled like it was like I'm Jerry Seinfeld in the late 80s. Like she was just, oh my God, Dad, you're the funniest thing. So that became a thing for like a month where it was like she would just want to count, get the number wrong. And then I freak out and just injure myself by hitting myself in the face with things. It's just like, it's what you do to entertain. Just keep your kids entertained for a little bit. So I guess throwing them into a soccer game when they're a little older and getting them to stand there and watch.
That's a win for two-thirds of the family.
Yeah. And Abby, at least, she got a hot pretzel out of it. She felt good.
Perfect.
Once we got her the pretzel, she was good. But, yeah, good time there. Hope everybody had a fun event there. It seemed like a cool thing. I hope we get more of those every few years. I know that years ago, was it Real Madrid came, and I forget who they played
PSG?
Against. Yeah, Real Madrid,
PSG. It was
like
10 or so years ago.
Was it that long? I thought it was
in 2014 or 2015.
We got to get them more close together than that.
Maybe earlier than that. It may have been like 2012.
Yeah. I wish I would have gone out for the Aston Villa thing. I was unfortunately not able to make it to that one. But having the fact that we had three Premier League teams play games.
And only one of them was confident enough to take on the crew.
And how'd that go for them?
I tip my cap to Villa. They
at least they tried.
And they tried to tussle with
us. City and Chelsea knew, but they said, we're not going to.
We don't want to deal with this.
No, we don't need that. You imagine Erling Haaland getting shut down by Rudy Camacho? Boy, that'd be tough to sell back in the papers in London, huh?
Yeah.
A little difficult
Rudy
in Manchester.
Rudy Camacho sells back to Manchester City for £75 million.
The biggest transfer in MLS history. It would have been something. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit of crew. We've got plenty of Premier League stuff we'll get to. We'll get to some women's soccer as well. U.S. national team doing good things. But start off with the crew. They are going to, we found out, host Sporting Kansas City
Friday
in their round of the Champions Cup. Or the, not Champions Cup, what is this?
League's Cup. I think I put Champions Cup on
Ron Burgundy did it there. It's League's Cup. Friday at 7:30.
Love a Friday game.
Dude.
I know it's League's Cup, but you could get more if we can get more Friday games.
Absolutely.
I'm all in.
Well, the fact number one, you've got the ability to possibly get a little bit of an early release from work.
Yeah.
On a Friday, that's a little easier to swing,
Friday
especially
beers.
In the summer. Yeah, of course. Then you got patio season in full blown effect right here. So you're just loving that. Then you go to a game, you hang out afterwards. Maybe you go back downtown and just enjoy your night afterwards, win or lose or draw or whatever happens. I guess it can't draw. And then Saturday you get up, you don't have to go to work. Hopefully.
It's better than that.
Depending on your job. Some people do, but a lot of people don't. That's a nice thing there.
And then you can watch the USA women's hopefully crush Brazil at noon on Saturday.
That's right. They get to that. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But also the crew making a signing official that we had heard about, Andres Herrera.
This was news to me. I've been locked in on Other things, Mayor was out to dinner last night. Her cousin graduated from med school at St. Louis. She's now doing like different residencies. So she's here at Ohio State.
Oh, right on.
Actually, for like the next 6 weeks or so. It was her cousin's birthday last night. So they went out to dinner. And I'm, again, trying to entertain Willie the house last night during dinner. So this, I didn't even realize that this happened.
Oh, no, it's great. It's great that this is where we are with the crew, where they sign, I think he's like a 25-year-old defender, been playing for River Plate last few years. Decent player. Obviously, it doesn't sound like he was one of their, like, featured star players. More of like a fringe bench guy for them. But this is a player who has plenty of experience in big games and playing in a tough league. I will say, having watched a little bit of the Argentina Primera Division, it's not going to be, I'm not going to say it's the best defending you've ever seen, but you have a lot of players who in that league defensively like to get forward, and that's apparently what Andres Herrera likes to do.
And if you're looking for him on FotMob, it's actually Marcelo Herrera.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But it's Andres, right? Like, that's what they've put on it. Like, all the crew stuff has said that. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this guy, apparently, so he is a guy who, in the crew video they put out for him, the tweet they sent out, it said Argentine attacker. And I thought, that's weird, given that he's listed as a defender. But if you watch the video, he talks a lot about how he likes to get forward. That's part of his game. That's what he wants to do. So it seems like, yet again, the crew have gone out and gotten yet another attacking defensive player.
Yeah.
Have you met Wilfried Nancy? This is kind of the guy he likes to have. Steven Moreira.
Going out of the back, right?
How many times have we seen Steven Moreira be up in the box, dribbling through four guys and firing a shot or sending a nice pass? Like, that's the mold, it seems like, that Wilfried Nancy wants, even for guys if they're playing all the way back, let alone if they're wingbacks or wherever else are deployed. So it appears, man, we are stocking up on these, like, defenders with pace and skill.
So Juan Jones, a couple weeks ago.
You know how much I like that
Andres
move.
Herrera, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Steven Moreira,
of course, is there. And then all the guys who are actually already here, like, I mean, you've already got dudes like Yao Yeboah, technically, still, as far as I know, still part of the team, right? I don't think
Farsi's still part of the team.
Right. They haven't transferred these guys. They may be on their way. I don't know. Max Arfston, right? Yeah. I know that's the thing with DeJuan Jones, where people are like, Max Arfston's going to start over him. It's like, I understand why you say that as a crew fan, because you've watched way more of him than you have probably DeJuan Jones. But that, like, there's a lot of dudes coming here is what I'm saying.
And those spots.
Yeah, and maybe Arfston is one of those guys that they look to move to get something else.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, but they also still, I believe, have a little bit of room left if they buy down, because they've got some TAM and GAM and whatever else.
I feel about TAM and GAM.
I believe you could buy down Nagbe and
take him off, like, the DP spot.
Yeah, and you could have a DP spot if you needed
one. Look at me go.
Yeah, see?
If we went back into the time machine and if you would have played that clip for me 5 years ago, I wouldn't have believed you.
Your growth is impressive, my friend. You know what? I looked you up on Transfer Market. Your transfer value's gone through the roof in the last couple of years.
$32.
Your MLS transfer value's skyrocketed.
It used to be $3. Now it's $32.
It's undisclosed value still. It's MLS. They won't ever tell us. But, yeah, I mean, you're talking about just a lot of defensive forward talent that is going to be able to do things. So I like where Issa Tall has come in and right away said, we're not going to just sit back here and be good enough and hope that, hey, we won a championship last year. Well, we'll see what happens. It feels a lot like this League's Cup thing. They are going to try to get,
cause it does.
It feels like they're going to go for this. Mm-hmm. They are loading this team up. And the nice thing is, I will say, as much as I bag on League's Cup, I'm not a fan of it. I know there's the boycott from a lot of fans who wanted to see, you know, all that happen. I will say this. I do feel like, one, you're in the stadium, you're not going to care.
No.
You're going to this game, you know, if you go on Friday night, it's a soccer game, your team's playing, you hope they win. But also, there's a chance if you win this game, they're playing potentially Miami. Now, I don't think Messi's going to play. He's still out injured, I believe. At least, I haven't looked at any injury reports. Judging by how his foot looked the last time I saw it.
Still think he's going to be out.
Yeah. But we talked about it. There's a chance of getting back at Pachuca. And again, there's just a chance of winning a trophy at the end of this thing. Do I personally care about this trophy? Not at all. Do the players care about this trophy?
Absolutely.
Seems like they kind of do.
Yep.
So I don't know what the
We haven't played in so long.
No, they need some games. Yeah. I'm okay with that. But at the end of the day, this thing's going to wrap up before we get to football season.
Yeah.
Right? So all this talk we've had, I mean, this will all be wrapped up within a matter of
a month. It's
yeah, I mean, we'll be back by September playing MLS games, well before that. So yeah, it's a compressed schedule, and you brought in some bodies. You got a lot of players here. You're still going to see players probably moving. I think August 14th is the MLS transfer deadline.
Okay.
So
we got a couple of weeks still.
Yeah.
Not a couple of weeks, 1 week.
Moves can still happen, but we're getting there, right? We're getting down to the nitty-gritty with this stuff. So lots to keep an eye on there. Miami-Toronto is the game. So I don't know who wins that, but Miami-Toronto is who the Crew, if they beat Sporting Kansas City, that is who they would that is likely who they would have to go up against. Now, I will say this on real quick on Sporting Kansas City, one little quick thing. Have you seen their throwback retro?
Why didn't we get one?
Dude, I don't know.
Because we would have an awesome one. Sporting Kansas City is great.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you. I went to, what is the soccer store over in Dublin?
Soccer Shop.
No, it's Soccer Plus, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't want to be wrong on that, but they have a nice, they moved from their previous location like across the street into a bigger building. I went in there the other day and they had all kinds of stuff, tons of Crew jerseys, tons of Crew stuff, tons of European stuff, if you're looking for any of that. But they had one of those Sporting Kansas City jerseys and I had not seen it like in the flesh.
Better in the flesh than it is
looks,
like pictures.
Well, it looks great in pictures, looks even better in person. Yeah. I thought about buying one just even though I could never root for them.
What
I
is
would
a
never,
sporting?
What is a sporting indeed? What is a Preki? Preki. Sporting Kansas City Kansas City Wizard.
It is kind of a it's kind of a sham how we didn't get one of those.
Well, welcome to MLS, yeah, right? It's just right. The Crew are like, oh, yeah.
They would never sold well in that.
You're just the oldest club in the league. Here's no throwback for you. All right, so we'll keep you an eye on that as the Crew go forward. U.S. Women's National Team get the win over Germany.
Ooh.
Sophie Smith. She
is a killer. She's a killer.
Yeah. She got it done finally. She had a couple of chances earlier in the game too where it was like you're in alone, keeper's kind of out of position, yeah. And
one side or the other.
Instead of an early chip or something, it was just wait till the keeper closes space and then the keeper gets to it and you know, ruin some of those chances. She didn't ruin them.
Yeah.
I was ruining the fact that she couldn't finish them. She probably rued it as well. Rue, a word I like. Anyway, she eventually got it done. She got the goal that we needed, and that's what we want.
It was the 95th minute. She got it done. If you didn't watch, it was extra time. And Germany, from there on out, just went on like an all-out assault. Like, was it the last, I don't know, 8 to 10 minutes of the game? I mean, it was just boom, ball into the box. Our goalkeeper came out, 119th minute, made herself as big as she
had
could.
That save with her foot?
Yeah.
That was, nerve-wracking. All of it was just sixes and sevens, as I like to say at times. But you know what? The scoreline said 1-0. And how about Emma Hayes with the praise? Emma Hayes is, a very well-respected
coach. She's gotten a lot out of this team so far.
Well, we saw what they did in the World Cup.
Yeah.
We saw how pathetic that was. And I'm not saying that's all on the players, but I do think it was a bit on the coaching. I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think this generation of talent is there yet as good as maybe some of the other, previous iterations of the women's national team have been. But there's still a ton of talent on this team, no matter how you slice it.
I think the rest of the world also has a lot of talent now, too.
They do. Yeah. And now you're going to find out exactly how this looks because you are going to see this U.S. national team hopefully – one more game to go, and they have to go through a legend in Marta from Brazil. Although she's obviously not what this is her last everything. I think she's over 40.
Yeah.
I mean, she's played forever. She is not what she once was, but she's still part of the spiritual part of that that Brazil team that's been very good for so many years.
The World Cup final or the Olympic finals? It had to be a long time ago. I just remember she went off like on a stretcher. And I think it was either the finals or the semifinals because they were trying to kill off time at the end of the game. And then immediately, like after like a 5-minute process, they take her to the stretcher off the field. And then she like unbuckles herself and immediately like runs back on. And I'm like, yeah, all right, Marta, let's go. And the announcers were going crazy about it.
Yeah, but I tell you too, Emma Hayes had a lot to say about Naomi Girma, who has been, she's a tough defender for the U.S. She's
and the fact that she's getting this praise from Emma Hayes is remarkable.
Yeah. I think one of the best managers there are out there, there is out there, is Emma Hayes. And U.S. national team, this is where I say to the men's side, you see how that works? Mm-hmm. You see how you go out and you identify who the best manager is? And you, and I know the women's game and the men's game are different in the standpoint of prestige and legacy with the U.S. women's team is a lot different than the legacy and prestige of the men's team. That job is different. But you went out and found the best coach, regardless of where they're from, what their ties are to the U.S., any of that, and said, let's get them to come over here and coach this team. And how's this worked out? You've got them now in the gold medal game for the Olympics, where they should be, quite frankly, almost every time they go out.
Totally.
But the standard has been returned. So that is something I'm thrilled to see.
Calling Girma the best defender she's ever coached.
And she's coached a lot of them.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, she coached in the Premier League, right? The Women's Premier League there in England. I mean, she's coached a lot of talented players. I want to say, too, Brazil and the U.S. both have very heavy, like, the Women's Soccer League here in the U.S., a lot of their players are from that league, not from some of these teams around the world, which is also just an interesting dynamic, right, that you are seeing a lot of players who regularly play in the U.S., with their national team or otherwise, but in Brazil's case, they have a lot of their talent that has been developed playing here in the, you know, one of the biggest leagues in the world, right, for women's soccer. So kind of cool to see that that's, from an American soccer standpoint, good that the U.S. is there, but also good that both teams there have quite a bit of talent from this league. So that's, I'm excited about watching this.
Did you see the, you said it was Saturday at noon, right?
Well, I don't know what time. I didn't remember what time it was.
I think it's Saturday at noon.
Okay,
I think it's a noon start. So you got that. Did you see some news from the women's international coaching side?
No.
Irv Reynard no longer with the French women's team.
That is something we've been kind of speculating about. Would he be a guy? He's someone that you and I both have been high on.
I'm with it.
He's exactly what I think you need for the men's national team, which he's coached the men's national teams. This, to me, that should matter more than anything. This guy's coached women's national teams, men's national teams. I'm presuming that if you gave him like a youth national team to coach, he'd get them to do some good things. Like, the guy just seems like he knows how to relate to players quickly and get them being better than they were.
Yeah.
So let's see how that goes. But
just figured I'd bring that up because I saw that come down this morning.
You know what? That might portend some. I mean, again, everybody kind of expects this. This is a guy who comes in, helps get you going in a certain direction, and then moves on to the next job.
Yeah.
And if that next job happens to be the U.S. men's national team, I wouldn't hate it.
I'm great. I'm great with it.
2-year project. Let's see what
he can sign do. Emma Hayes to do both.
You ain't kidding. I'm a big advocate of that. I don't care. I do not care what your gender is. If you can coach, you can coach.
Totally.
I had a coach in junior high basketball. Obviously not the same thing, but
close.
Pretty much. We were right there. No, but I had a English teacher at school, Miss Swangum, was our basketball coach. And the first practice, it was super weird because we were 7th grade and 8th grade boys.
Very immature.
Like, what the hell's going on? This doesn't make any sense. And then by practice 2 or 3, it was just like, our coach is yelling at us. We better run, you know, like, and it just, and from then on, she was just coach. And and I can't imagine it's that much different once you get to the highest levels.
No.
Like, how many people have coached sports teams that you would say, well, they could never play in the NFL. Okay. But they're coaching.
Plenty.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm sure that there are women who may not be able to play at certain levels of soccer or whatever. I have no doubt they could do a better job than what we've had coaching the men's team of late. So you're absolutely right on that. If Emma Hayes was, I don't want to take her away from the women's national team because
either.
I feel like I'd rather have the legacy of that team continue and let the men's team figure it out on their own.
You guys are on an island. Figure it out yourselves.
Yeah. The women's team deserves Emma Hayes. Yeah, the men's team does not.
You're right about that.
They definitely have earned that and deserve it. And the men's side of things, though, we do have another coach that you and I are very familiar with.
Yep.
With, you know, a French name, and that is one Thierry Henry. Gotten the French Olympic team, which of course is not the same as the national team in the men's side.
It's pretty good.
But go figure. France still has a lot of talent. And who are the two teams playing in the Olympic final? Oh, that's right. France and Spain.
Yeah.
Just take a look at their rosters, folks, and just drool over the talent that is on both those rosters. But That's not diminishing what Thierry Henry's done. He needed this redemption tour, did he not, from a managerial standpoint?
Oh, of course he did.
I mean, after it didn't go great,
I mean, it was
in
a
MLS.
Homecoming too. Like, he's back. They're in Paris. He's the coach of this team.
Oh, man. And if he is the one who gets them to hoist this, I'm rooting for France 100% on this one. If France can win this, Thierry Henry, I love Thierry Henry. I don't know if there's something I shouldn't like about him. I don't know.
I am a personal enjoyer of Thierry Henry.
Yeah, that's what it is. Every time he's on TV, I listen. I enjoy what he does.
I usually learn. I know that he's a big fan of Wilfried Nancy.
That's another thing that is high on my list. And, oh, by the way, he is one of the most, like, tremendous soccer players I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that he's good at that, I wanted him to be good at coaching because it just sucks when the guys who are really good at playing, then they go coach, and you're like, oh, look at this loser. And it's like, that's not fair. He's awesome. Stop calling him a loser. So, either way, win, lose, or draw, he has redeemed himself, I would feel like, on this stage at least. Has to be considered now, like, I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to then leave from this and go take over coaching a Big Four
right.
Champions League club immediately, but this does, I think, help him rejuvenate that a little bit. Or if nothing else, if he never coaches again, he can at least put this on and say, I was a successful national team coach for a period of time for the Olympics.
I was looking at the U23, the France team that's in the Olympics, and I went back to look at just the roster when they played the U.S. and beat us 3-0. And did I tell you this? So I was looking at the player value of this. Their lowest player value rating on France's team is Alexander Lacazette.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, that's their lowest at, like, $9 million. The highest for the U.S. was, like, 7.5.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's Alexander Lacazette, who you're talking about, who's, like, doing this because he wants to get something, can't crack into the national team anymore.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, if I'm going to be a designated player, come down for the Olympics, locker room, like, just everything about him. Like, that's the lowest valued player on France's team.
Well, and that just shows you. That's why I wasn't, when the U.S. lost to Monaco, I mean, they got their
or
asses
Morocco.
Kicked. Who did I say?
Monaco.
Monaco. That's where
Thierry Henry
was coaching. That's what I was. See, just flipped them. Yeah, I lost to Morocco, which makes way more sense. When that happened, I was not shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have liked to see them put up more of a fight, but.
Got smoked.
I wouldn't have been surprised they lost that game. The way they lost it and how they just got dominated pretty much from the get-go, that was not ideal. I do think it's a little bit. I think it's a little bit naive to say, well, they were just not going to win anyway. It's like, well, but they could have played a better game than what they played. Still, to your point, the team that they brought was not anywhere close to a level of team that you would expect that could play on the World Cup level.
Like what France brought.
Yeah.
Like, those are the next dudes up for France.
Right. And clearly, a lot of the players that could have possibly been available for this were not selected because they either just finished playing in Copa America or they weren't released by their teams. Again, they don't have... You don't have that in Olympic soccer. FIFA has basically said, yeah, we don't want you to have a tournament.
Yeah.
We don't want the World Cup to have to
be competing
with this.
We don't recognize you as like a governing body.
Well, and they have been essentially have said, we will not allow, this is not an international window. Players are not forced to be released from their team. It's only if the teams allow them to do so. And it wouldn't come as a surprise that a lot of younger players who have a chance to go win a gold medal for France, their teams are going to say, we get it. You didn't get to play in the Euros.
Maybe that's different next time that the Olympics comes around for us, like when it's in the States.
Oh, I bet you.
4 years.
If we've got that talent level. Like, I would guess it's easier to get guys released to play. But you had a lot of basically, again, nothing against him, nothing against any of these guys. You had a lot of MLSers getting released to go do this. You didn't have a lot of the young U.S. talent that is under 23 that is playing overseas that still would qualify for this stuff. So I totally get why that's kind of where we're at. It's disappointing, but it's not surprising, I guess. So, and yes, France destroyed us. Oh, well, I'm not mad about it.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
Not either. You got in the knockout rounds and you got to your first quarterfinal since 2000.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's not a great success, but it's a success.
100%. Yep. So not surprised at all by this result. I'm looking forward to watching both of these Friday and Saturday. These will be two good finals, men's and women's in the Olympics. Let's go. Should be fun.
France and America. That's who you're pulling for.
Yeah. Red, white, and blue all the way, baby.
I'm with you
on both.
Allez, allez, allez. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, we both like revolutions.
Spain just can't keep winning everything, all right?
Yeah, that's right. Spain can't win in everything, and Brazil...
France has won a lot of everything. Brazil's got enough winning for forever.
Yeah, exactly right. We'll take a break when we come back. Some news about transfers in Europe and the start of the beginning of Beamer's misery for 2024-2025 is next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
Beam United.
You can always tweet the program at Bone Beam United. I was thinking too, we got to figure out a dudes episode at some point again. Another one of those, you know, players that we just talk about all the time. Yeah. We don't have one in the hopper yet. Don't worry. This is probably a few weeks away, but we'll have to figure out another one of those. If you've got a suggestion for someone, we did one on Jose Mourinho. If you've not listened to it, go back and find it. It's right there in the podcast feed, wherever you got this one. But send us a suggestion. If you like that episode and you want to hear someone else that we've talked about. Zinedine Zidane is one that I've always thought would be good. We were just talking about Thierry Henry. Maybe that would be one to do. But let us know your thoughts on that. We're always welcome to it. So the Community Shield game starts up this Saturday.
Curtain raiser.
Well, we've got two gold medal games going on, Friday and Saturday, and then this game. So you've got...
And you got Leagues Cup on Friday night. I mean, Leagues you got Cup. An unbelievable weekend of soccer.
It's almost like... Soccer never stops.
It doesn't.
It just never stops.
We just got done with Copa and the Euros. Now we're in the throngs of Olympic stuff going on. MLS season, I know, is kind of in this weird pause, hiatus for Leagues Cup. Doesn't feel like the crew has played in forever. But now it's just like now you're on the upward trajectory of, like, Olympics are getting ready to end and European leagues are starting to go.
It definitely does. And then from there, it's... See ya in May.
Yeah.
Like, as far as, you want a break from soccer? Well, Christmas time, you might get a few of the leagues take some time off. Little thing called Boxing Day on December 26th brings everybody back. And then off we go into winter transfer window and all that craziness. Off season for MLS is prime time
World
for that.
Cup qualifiers now going to get kicked up too. Crazy.
We are less than 2 years from the World Cup.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I'll tell you real quick, if you've not seen the... I believe it's Saudi Arabia.
I'm so glad that you brought this up.
If you haven't seen these renderings for the 2036 World Cup, whatever it would be. Yeah, because 2030, we've already.
Well, no, because 2026 would be ours.
Is ours.
2034, I think.
Oh, you're right. 34. Okay.
Because 2030 is like South America and then Portugal, Spain, Morocco, I think are
the
those
two
things.
Bidding. They're bidding against each other, you're saying. It's either going to be a conglomeration of countries in South America or it's going to be.
Because I don't think
Portland,
it's been
Spain,
awarded
Morocco.
Yet. Yeah.
Okay. But the one in 2034, Saudi Arabia is bidding on it. And these stadium renderings.
They don't make sense to me.
There's at least one of them that looks like it's built on top of a giant. Cliff
it
structure.
Is. It is. Have you read about this thing? So it's called The Rail. Is
oh,
what
it's
it is.
On that?
Yes. So if you don't know anything about The Rail, is like there is supposed, and I don't know anything about construction, but it's like a mile long, basically city. So
it's supposed to be miles long, but it's almost like it's super wide too. Like people are expected to basically live on. It's like a skyscraper maybe it is at least a mile. I don't know how long it is, but it's like a skyscraper that is a mile long or whatever you want to say.
Yeah, it's 1,000 feet tall. So imagine like if you've ever watched Game of Thrones, like the big ice wall that they have separating the north. Like think about that, but an actual structure that is big enough to put a soccer stadium in. And one of the renderings has the stadium on top of the rail looking down below like a thousand foot drop.
I'm trying to find something that tells. See, I looked up the rail. What is this thing called? It's not the rail. Well, whatever it's called, I Googled the rail and it gave me nothing. But whatever, I know what you're talking about because I've seen the renderings too. And this thing, I don't know if it's ever going to get built. I don't know. But like the first thing
the line.
The line. Okay.
The line.
The line. But yeah, it literally looks like something. The line looks like something out of a dystopian sci-fi future. And these stadiums look like something out of Tron.
Estimated cost $500 billion. Completion date 2030.
Seriously. Is it a mile long?
Let me read about it. The line is now expected to be reduced to a short section at the western end of 1.5 miles long.
Oh my gosh. It's still, that's the scale back is 1.5 miles?
A 98.6% reduction from the original.
Okay.
Design.
That's what I thought. It's supposed to be like 100 miles?
120 miles is supposed to be.
Okay. So 1.5 miles of this
thing.
It's
1/10 of a mile across.
Good
so
night.
Now, I mean, basically 1.5 miles long, 1.5 miles across. Or no, 1/10 of a mile across. 1,000 feet tall.
This is breaking my brain. I literally can't. Okay, so they want to put a stadium on this?
On it. They want to put a stadium on.
On it.
Literally on top of it.
Yeah. And so.
I got a question. How do you do that?
I don't know, but I can tell you this. He won't be playing by that point, but don't let Romelu Lukaku anywhere near that stadium because you will lose every soccer ball. They will vaporize before they hit the bottom. They'll just miss the goal and then just shoo, never seen it again.
I think the golf right there is like McCovey Cove, like baseball players hitting it out of a giant stadium.
Someone's out of there trying to catch it, and they just turn into dust. They're just like completely, them and the ball become one in a nuclear fusion. And then... that's it.
And that was, I mean, that was the craziest part of the stadium. But the other stadiums, too, are just as insane as that one. Like, dude. They look, again, they don't even look like state. They look like something out of a sci-fi movie that I've never before have laid my eyes on.
Right. Yeah, it is. I've never seen anything like this. But that's just one of the stadiums. Yeah. They're all, most of them are insane. There's only one or two of them where you're like,
that's a nice
I recognize
stadium.
That as like, possibly something that I've seen before or yeah. looks like a stadium. The rest of them look like, I don't even know how they are structures. I don't know how they stand. No. And again, remember when the last time there was anything awarded in the Middle East for a World Cup, one, it was super corrupt. Two, there was talk of at the time in Qatar that they were going, or Qatar, they were going to have floating air conditioning clouds, like blimps, dirigibles with giant fans floating over these stadiums to give air conditioning. So don't worry, it won't be too hot. They also said they were going to have like holograms in some of the stadiums so you could sit in one stadium and watch games in another stadium. That didn't happen either, for what it's worth.
Then we just moved it to the wintertime.
Well, yeah, is this going to be another Winter World Cup? Know. I guess, it's just in. I don't think it's getting cooler.
I want to see the completion of one, the line. I got to live long enough to see the completion of that. And then I want to see them actually put a soccer stadium in there.
Yeah.
It'd be incredible.
I don't want to find out, because when you said like they're forcibly moving people, yeah. I was like, and then what are they doing? Forcibly taking people and capturing them so they can go work and build this thing? It doesn't seem like humanitarian efforts are going to need to be happening to hopefully make sure everyone's okay.
Remember, as though, Gianni Infantino, this is the World Cup of Peace.
Yeah. Excuse the dead bodies we're stepping over on the way to the stadium. Yeah. This is the World Cup of Peace.
Those renderings are cool.
No, they're incredible. And again, if we got the technology where AI robots can build all this crap and people don't have to be out in the sun and dying to make it happen, then sure, I'd love to see it once it's all built. But I don't want anybody to die on one of these cranes out there in 130 degree heat trying to build this stuff. Come on.
It's 1,000 feet off the ground.
Again, I don't know how buildings are built, but like, people up on 1,000-foot skyrise, they know how to do this, construction workers. When you drop a bolt, right? Like, that's not good.
No.
Right. So how, what if you're building a whole city like that?
I don't know.
I don't understand how that.
I don't either.
I'm sure there is a construction process for that where it's like, oh, yeah, all the bolts are, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how life works, my man. I was watching a video the other day of taffy where they put like a shape in the taffy, and I said, I don't know how that works, let alone how they build skyscrapers. I'm stupid.
How do they make the waffles, then freeze them so then I can consume them at a later date?
Yeah, how do they let me Lego my ego? No one's explained it. All right, so the Community Shield, your winners of the FA Cup and the Premier League will face off, and this year, thankfully, they're not both the same team.
They're not.
City got it done, of course, winning the Premier League. But Manchester United, in stunning fashion, a game that you gave up on. You completely doubted it would happen.
Yep.
United smoked them. Got it done.
Kicked their ass up and down the pitch.
Right. Beat them in the FA Cup final. Yep. So now they'll square off again in a Manchester derby to get us ready for the Premier League season.
5-0 City. Again.
There you go. I think Erling Haaland got all his goals out for the year. I don't think he left them all here at Ohio Stadium. I don't think he's going to have anything left in the tank for this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be watching. I'll be watching for sure. I'm more keyed into hopefully the Olympic gold medal match than I will be the Community Shield. Always get excited about this. Always appointment watching for me to watch the Community Shield, because then that means the following week that the Premier League is back. Week one out of 38 of pandemonium.
Yeah. I'm still sticking with my Aston Villans. I am there. We're locked in on that. As much as I was giving them crap, you know, over their loss to the Crew, the reality is that's my team for the Premier League again.
Yeah.
Trying to think, and Sunderland I got going in the championship, which I believe they're getting ready to kick off. I think this weekend is championship, right? I think the championship stuff's starting up very soon. So lots of soccer to pay attention to just in England. Should we adopt as a show, should we adopt a team in another league?
Like a German team or something?
Well, so for example,
or just like an English team, a lower side English team.
We could do either one. Here's my my love for Real Madrid, yep. Long and steadfast
history.
As long as Luka Modric is there, I will never stop loving that team. When he leaves, they could be dead to me. I don't know. We'll find out.
You got Vinny there though.
I do have Vinny. I love Vinny. And then now we've got Endrick is there. I mean, we're just who I keep wanting to call Eldrick, like he's Tiger, Tiger Woods, but not that's
Mbappe,
not his name.
Don't forget him. He's there.
Anybody you've heard of is there. They're great.
Yep.
But so I don't think we can do a Spanish league team because I already have a team there.
I wanted to go Girona, but then I realized that they were owned by City, and I'm like, well, can't do that.
I'm told it's Girona.
Girona.
It's Girona.
My Girona.
Yes. Now, Germany, you have Bayern Munich.
Mm-hmm.
I have, you know, in name, been a Borussia Dortmund fan, mostly because it's black and gold, and it's just an easy zoop, right into that.
Yep.
Do we have an Italian club?
We don't have an Italian club. I feel like by default it would be like an AC Milan.
Shouldn't we adopt AC
Milan?
How about
this? I feel like AC Milan is good. Can I interest you in doing a Fenerbahce season because of Jose?
Yes, you can. Yes.
Okay.
Fenerbahce can be our guys.
All right.
I mean, I know here's the thing. I welcome learning more about cultures that I don't know a lot about. I don't know a lot about Turkish culture. I don't pay a lot of attention to that league.
Turkish delight. Like, that's what that's what I've got.
I've had that. I don't know if that is actually from Turkey. I know it's a British thing.
Yeah.
Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I read it too. I got it. C.S. Lewis.
Thank you, C.S. Lewis.
Yeah. But I've had it. Not my favorite thing.
No?
No. But I would love to go somewhere for true, like, Turkish cuisine. I would love to know if you are a fan of a Turkish club or if you are from Turkey or you have Turkish ancestry, heritage, whatever. Please enlighten us. But Fenerbahce, why not? I mean, it's going to suck.
Why don't we just do both?
What do you mean?
Just do an AC Milan and a Fenerbahce. They're not rivals.
All right. So I think having a show team is kind of the thing though.
Okay.
Right. So I'm with you. I think Fenerbahce and AC Milan get us paying attention to more leagues.
Yep.
So we're going to pencil that in.
Where do I find those games?
Fenerbahce?
Yeah.
Paramount Plus. I don't know. You know what? Could be. I just threw out one of the streamers that sometimes has soccer.
Turkish football.
Is it the Superliga?
Yeah.
Is that what it's? Turkish Superliga.
Yep.
Or a Super League?
Super League. I think it's LIGUE, is it not?
Okay.
BN Sports as of August 5th, 2024. So this was just a couple days ago. BN Sports regional subsidiary Digiturk has the exclusive rights to broadcast Turkey's two top soccer tiers, the Super League and the TFF First League in the United States through 26 and 27. So it's on the BN Sports package.
Okay. Well, that's, you know what? Then I say I will. That's going to be tougher to get because I don't have that.
I don't either.
So we're going to wait for Champions League. When they're on a Champions League broadcast, we're locked in on those.
Yep.
Of course, until we're rooting for our own teams in said matches. Oh, wait. No, you guys are in. You guys made it in.
Champions League?
Yeah.
No, we're not.
No.
Oh, we're in Europa League.
What happened?
Well, we finished 8th or 7th.
That's right.
But then we won the FA Cup and knocked Chelsea to the next league down kicked West Ham out of Europe entirely, I think. Something like that happened.
Something. I've lost track of how your team does year to year. I'm sorry, buddy.
Sometimes it may be good. Sometimes it may be shit. That's how it is. I don't know what to expect out of them.
Here's what I know. AC Milan, I've been wanting to buy a jersey anyway.
Yep.
That's going to be a purchase.
Are you going legend jersey or are you going Pulisic?
Or am I going Yunus Musa?
Yeah.
Could do that.
Yeah.
Remains to be seen. I'm gonna have to think long and hard about that, because there is a part of me, I mean, clearly there's a lot of history there. I almost may just go generic. Like,
just straight up jersey, yeah, nothing
on
the back.
Who needs to have a player on and have that stress where it's like, oh, I'm wearing the jersey. It's like, oh, but he just got subbed out. He's a loser. It's like, I didn't know. I forgot to watch the game. I'm just wearing a shirt. Sorry. Or I just wear an AC Milan jersey, and then I'd have one less thing to worry about. Maybe I'd just go that route. But Fenerbahce, I would, you know what? That's a jersey.
That's a nice jersey. That's a conversation piece.
Yes. And and now again, it's going to get me into, oh, Fenerbahce, you know, and it's like, I'm brand new fan. Name three songs of Fenerbahce. Go. I'm sorry. I'm working on it. I'm learning about them.
We're trying.
I'm glad you suggested Fenerbahce.
Serie A on CBS this year, which will be Paramount Plus.
Yes.
So, yes. Serie A, you're covered on that.
So, AC Milan's going to probably get more of our viewing. But I'm going to try to stay up on Fenerbahce.
Okay.
So, just to be clear, here are my teams I have to pay attention to.
Jesus. How much more time do we have in this show?
Aston Villa.
That's one.
Sunderland.
Okay.
That's just me. Your Shrimpers. Yep. Just for you.
That's me.
Manchester United.
Yep.
Manchester City.
Yep.
Because we hate them. Then we have to keep up with Real Madrid.
Yep.
Atletico Madrid, because you hate them.
We don't have to keep up on them. They're dead.
We do, because Julian Alvarez just went to Atletico Madrid.
That's right.
So we have to keep up with that.
Big Julian Alvarez.
And him
guy.
Too. Yeah. Bayern Munich.
Yep.
We have to keep up with Borussia Dortmund.
Yep. That's 10.
Now then we also have added in Fenerbahce.
Okay. It's 11.
And AC Milan.
And the Crew.
Oh, the Crew are, like, I was just going with European clubs.
Okay.
But then if we wanted to add in teams around the world, yes, the Crew, and then Boca Juniors.
What about Celtic for you? Aren't you a big Celtic guy?
I'm a big Celtic guy. Huge. You know, I'm a big Catholic everything. It's me. Huge Catholic guy.
Yeah.
Is that everything?
I think that's it. I think that's 15.
Anyway.
It's a lot of shit to watch.
I like have my own NFL. I have my own national or American league of soccer teams. Because there's about, what, 14, 15 teams in each of the baseball, American league, national league? That's what I have for soccer teams to keep an eye on. Good Lord. Oh, we didn't even put, like, Wrexham. Probably should, like, going to keep an eye on Wrexham.
They're doing fine. You know, we don't need to worry about them.
You know what I mean. I'm just saying. This is soccer. This is what I love. There's always something.
There's always something out there for everybody.
Anyway, good times.
I thought you were a big Fulham guy, too, aren't you?
Fulham. Full America. As long as they have a pub named after Brian McBride.
What happened to Watford from a couple of years ago?
And Watford. Yes. Good call. Oh, how could I forget Peterborough? My brother will kill me.
Your brother's basically a co-owner of that.
Yeah, Peterborough.
Is that 18 teams? 17? What about Lyle over in France? We don't have a French team yet.
Let's go Lyle.
Yep, that's 19.
Let's go Lyle.
Can we get it to an even 20?
Olympique Marseille, the OL Reign,
yep.
Or the Seattle Reign, whatever they're called now. That's my women's team.
Okay.
Because I've seen a game of theirs, so we're going to keep up with them.
That's 20, I think. It's enough.
Never enough.
No. Orlando Pirates.
Yeah, from Africa.
Yeah, I got you.
From South Africa?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Oh, and Al Ali, my buddy Sam Fahmy, who's been on the podcast, big Al Ali guy in Egypt.
Okay.
All right, so Orlando, Pirates. Yeah, okay, there we go. So anyway, I'll tell you what. To make it easier on me, if you have one of those jerseys and you want to send it to us, let us know. We'll take it. Probably won't fit either of us, but send it anyway.
We'll hang it up here in the studio.
Yeah. We need to get our own dedicated studio space. That's next on the agenda.
That and getting a camera. Actually, I think we could just put up shirts in here. I don't think anybody would care.
You're exactly right. They will until they start realizing, like, hey, what are these soccer guys doing with this one studio? We wanted to use
it for
TikTok or something.
Well, your TikTok's going to look great with a OL Reign jersey in the background.
Yeah. Last thing before we go, Barca signed Dani Olmo. Just
tremendous player.
Tremendous player. Great for Spain. Obviously was great in the Euros. And now he will continue to be great for Barcelona, presumably, who has apparently money to sign all these dudes out of nowhere.
I was reading an article on The Athletic by it. It's like, hey, $60 million for Dani Olmo. Seems like a pretty good price for, you know, a player of that caliber. So he comes in, going to be next to Lamine Yamal, your guy. I don't know if you want to throw Barcelona on that list of teams, Bone. No, I know you're a staunch Real Madrid guy.
Real Madrid guy.
I know that comes in there. Obviously, like Pedri, Gavi, De Jong in that midfield as well. Rafinha on the other side. They're wanting to sign Nico Williams as well. I'm like, I don't know how all those players are going to play together. Like, I just, there's 11 guys on the field.
A lot of dudes.
One of them has to be a goalie.
Yeah.
Unless one of them can play goalie. Like, those are like six guys I just named. I'm not exactly sure how, why they're signing these players. I mean, I would sign Danny Olmo too. I think he's tremendous. But one, how are you affording it? And there was a great article done by The Athletic a few days ago just talking about this and like the pulling of the levers and everything, basically like triggering sales for down the road of like Barcelona being up for sale. And they are a mess.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the story, we've covered it for a couple of years now. They're selling like 10% of their stakes for 100 million or a part of their like Barca, I think it was the Barcelona like video company or whatever it is. It's very confusing. And they said, and I don't necessarily believe this, that they can't register Danny Olmo. So he's technically ineligible to play in any La Liga game or Champions League game this year. But that will be,
that
will be fixed. That will be fixed before the beginning of the season, I think.
Okay. I forgot about Chelsea. My oldest is into Chelsea now,
yep.
So I'm going to have to put Chelsea on the list of other things I go with. You know what? I think this would actually be, someone should do this, and I say this as someone who does a soccer podcast. Someone should just say, their podcast is called My Slice of Soccer, and
yeah.
It's just like, here's my Premier League team, here's my Bundesliga, and it's just one team. And then you listen to that podcast knowing, I don't like all these teams. But I do like Bayern Munich, and this guy also likes Bayern Munich. So, like, once every other week, he'll mention them, and I think that's the way to go. That's just what we need to do with soccer
podcasts.
Is that
what we're going to do in the future now?
Yeah.
Great.
What I just listed, that's what it's going to be. Our Aston Villa, Sunderland, Shrimpers, Manchester United, Manchester City Hate, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund, Boca Juniors, Celtic, Wrexham, Fulham, Watford, Peterborough, Lille, Seattle Reign, AC Milan, Chelsea podcast, Fenerbahce back in better than ever, baby.
AC Milan.
I said AC Milan. Okay. I didn't say Fenerbahce. We're there. Orlando Pirates, Al Ahly. You got it all. Okay. I think we've got it all. Oh, and crew.
Well, they're the main topic.
They're the main topic
week.
Every week, as you know. All right. Do we have anything else?
I don't think that's it.
Okay. We've named all
best
the teams
of luck
in the
to
world.
All those teams this upcoming season.
Unless you're already in your season, in which case
I hope you're having a good time.
All right. We've gotten the official Loopy Award for this one, so we'll take it there. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. Beam will be back next week, hopefully, with a Premier League preview.
Update you on all those teams, how they're doing.
I will be off next
Leave
week.
Leave that sheet here at my desk.
Perfect. Sounds good. We'll talk to you then.